Heard all across the United States, Canada, and around the world. This is the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Hank is president of the Christian Research Institute. At CRI, our desire is to equip you to not only defend the historic Christian faith, but become an apprentice of Jesus Christ, because life and truth matter. To learn more or to find resources to help you grow in grace, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or go to our website at equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. It's always great to be in studio as we answer your questions throughout the United States and Canada. Do remember our contact numbers. Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The web, equip.org, and resource consultants is ever standing by at 888-7000-CRI. A lot of you hanging on. We'll go right to the phone lines. First up today is Deborah. She's listening on the web in Mesa, Arizona. Hi, Deborah.
Hi. I'm super nervous.
Oh.
But my son is a genius, literally. Like, we had his IQ tested because he was kind of a difficult child.
Mm-hmm.
And he's 26 now, and he was baptized when he was younger, and he's fallen away from the faith. And he is upset with God because he said that God is an egotist and that he's egomaniacal because he just created us to worship him, knowing full well that we were going to sin. And I tried the, you know, that he gave us free will because love is not love without the power to
mm-hmm.
act and act otherwise. I used your words.
Yeah.
And I tried, when I said that, it upset him because he said that God is sovereign. So he knew that we would sin and that we would turn away. And this big experiment is just a dismal failure, or it's just an exercise in boosting God's egomaniacal and monumental ego. So I tried saying that if my son created all things and had that power, that he would know the truth and that he would deserve to be worshipped and demand to be worshipped, because I pointed out he's fantastic at football.
Hmm.
He knows everything about football. So I tried a football analogy with him. And I said, you get really upset with others when they don't honor the truth of your vast football knowledge. And his retort was, yes, but I didn't create them. And I said, well, yeah, but if you actually did, if they were your children, I think you would be more, not less upset. But you love them enough to keep trying and woo them back to your line of thinking. And it feels like a circle with him, and I just don't know what to say to him to get him to understand that because God is so fantastic in so many ways, and he created DNA, and he created our ability to think, and all of those things, that we should worship anything that would be able to do that kind of magnificent thing. You know, just creating us is a magnificent thing. Mm-hmm. Creating a tree is a magnificent thing. Shouldn't you worship something that did, that had that ability? And his point, it just keeps going back to, he knew we would sin and he knew we'd be horrible people, and, you know, he made us bad. And I'm desperate.
Well,
can you help me?
Well, I tell you, I didn't want to say a word, Deborah, because I'm absolutely enthralled by the way you're dealing with your son. That's fantastic. And remember, you can't talk anyone into a relationship with the Lord. You can be a well-equipped, well-trained vessel in the hand of the Lord, and that is precisely what you are doing. You are demonstrating that you are an equipped tool, and you are communicating in a way that demonstrates both love and wisdom. Now, let's go back to something you said earlier. Your son said, God knew what people would do. The reality is, you knew exactly what would happen as a result of having your son. You knew that your son would grow up in a cursed creation. You knew that your son would experience pain and sorrow and eventually die. And yet you chose to have him because you knew that it was better to love and lose than never love at all. And I think that is an apt analogy for God. God loved us so much that he was willing to bear alienation and sin on our part. Because worship ultimately involves the knowledge of God, the knowledge of God as an incomparable good. If God is a perfect being, it is the natural order of things to worship him. In other words, it is that which by nature we are designed to do. It is that which completes us. So far from being egomaniacal, God has given us the opportunity to be in perfect worship or perfect fellowship with him. That perfect worship and fellowship was broken as a result of our sin. And now what happens? You have the one who spoke and the universe leapt into existence, lying before his creation in the pool of his own blood. That gives some kind of meaning to how much God loves us and how significant fellowship, i.e. worship, ultimately with God is. How much God is willing to bridge the relationship between our sin and his holiness, such that we can have the best of all worlds in the future, a world in which we are forever able not to sin. Now, again, you can go back to the beginning, an argument that you so eloquently used with your son. You could go back to this idea that God could have created him as a chatty Cathy doll. You pull the string, and whatever's programmed in comes out. But God did not do that, because had God done that, love would be rendered meaningless. And you communicated that, and that's all we can do. We can communicate the truth, but only God changes the heart. Now, as a mother, it's a difficult thing to see someone who once had a relationship with the Lord walk away from that relationship, whatever that relationship might have been, deep, shallow, whatever. But to walk away from that, it's a difficult thing for a mother to see. But one thing you can do as a mom is you can pray that God brings people and circumstances into the life of your son so that he might come to a true valuation of things. And likely, it will be not just your witness, but it will be your witness augmented by the witness of other people over time, your prayers on behalf of your son, that ultimately will be firing the winning shot. But the fact that you are so able to communicate these truths just blows me away, and I'm really grateful, and I think he should be grateful for having a mom like that.
Well, you're really sweet. It's just super frustrating. You know, sometimes it's just a lot easier to deal with not as smart people, you know what I mean? Because he's just so caught up in the fact that God doesn't do things the way that he would do. And given that, you know, God's an idiot or he's an egotist or he's a whatever. And I guess there isn't a good argument for that.
Well, there is, and you've given that argument quite eloquently. I mean, if you think back to the things you have said, I think you're on target. I mean, the Lord is leading you and you are equipped. And that's exactly what we need to be, equipped. Because ultimately, and I've said this many times on the broadcast, it's not about evangelism. It's about being equipped for evangelism. God using your well-reasoned answer as a springboard or an opportunity. But again, only he changes the heart. So you are an equipped tool and a vessel. And because you have a very intelligent son, you are constantly being pressed to the limits. And as a result of that, you are learning. And therefore, God is going to use what you have learned, not only in the life of Madison, but no doubt in the life of other people as well.
Thank you so much for your time. I really super appreciate it, and I hear the music, but I had one more question, but I will let you go.
God bless you, Deborah. And it is hard for me to walk away from an incredible lady who is doing this kind of evangelism work with her own son. So I hope all of you listening in have benefited both from her eloquence as well as some of the comments I made. We'll be right back with more of your questions.
The Church of Almighty God, also known as Eastern Lightning, is a socially subversive pseudo-Christian cult. It follows a self-proclaimed female Christ whose heretical doctrines incite violence. Denying the Trinity and biblical authority, Eastern Lightning uses psychological intimidation, disrupts families, and has even perpetrated physical assaults. In graphic language, the counterfeit Christ exhorts followers to abandon their families and devote themselves to recruiting new converts, branding those who refuse as worthless. You can read more about the iron rod of this false almighty God in a special print issue of the Christian Research Journal. To receive your copy, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping, life-changing outreaches. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us online at equip.org. That's equip.org. Don't tune out. Hank Hanegraaff will be back with more right after this.
Hank Hanegraaff has dedicated his life to defending truth because truth matters. Yet an encounter with Christians in the underground Church of China left Hanegraaff contemplating his Christian experience. They were experiencing something beyond truth. They were experiencing life. Truth Matters, Life Matters More by Hank Hanegraaff is two books in one. Because Truth Matters, Part 1 equips Christians to defend the essential truths of the historic Christian faith. In Part 2, Hank explains why life matters more and how we can experience the height of human existence, union with God. Prepare to move past intellectually knowing about God to experientially knowing God in Christ. To receive your copy of Truth Matters, Life Matters More, The Unexpected Beauty of an Authentic Christian Life, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org.
Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org. Bertrand Russell famously said, "Most people would rather die than think, and many of them do." Not so with CRI support team members. Support team members are not only serious thinkers, but their membership in CRI's support team helps to equip hundreds of thousands of fellow believers around the globe each and every month. Are you not a member? Then you're missing out. Not only do support team members form the backbone of Christian Research Institute's outreaches, but they enjoy their selection of resources from our Equipping Essentials library. To discover how you can make a difference 24/7 in equipping believers at home and abroad to stand for life and truth, check out the benefits of membership at equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org.
Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we will go right back to the phone callers. Next up is Andrew listening in St. Louis, Missouri. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, how are you, Hank?
Good, how are you?
I am really good. I have some friends that use Ouija boards, and I've heard that they are dangerous, and I was wondering if you can explain to me how they work and how they're dangerous.
Well, I think the danger is in the intent of the person that is using the Ouija board, because the idea here is a futile attempt to bypass God and to access super information that comes from supernatural realms on your own. So you're bypassing God and trying to get information about the future through occult means. And therein lies the danger. Because if you look at passages in the Old Testament, in particular, like Deuteronomy chapter 18, we are warned, there shall be no one among you who uses divination, who interprets omens, who's a spiritist, who calls up the dead. All of these things, and many others that are delineated there, are detestable to the Lord. And because of these detestable practices, the Lord your God will drive you out, just like he drove the nations out who were in the land here before you got to the land. So the point is trying to bypass God through other supernatural means.
All right, cool. Thanks. God bless you.
God bless you. Thank you so much for your call. And by the way, I don't think that the planchette on the Ouija board is actually moved by a demon, because demons, they can tempt you, but they can't bite you. They can't move physical objects. They don't have creative power. They can engage in mind-to-mind communication, and that's why we're told in Ephesians chapter 6 to put on the full armor of God so that we can withstand the wiles of the evil one. Want to go back to the phone line now, and let's talk next to Tony. He's listening in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Hi, Tony.
Hello. I'm calling. I was listening, and you were saying that we have this free will, and I see nowhere in the Bible where it teaches that we have free will. The only will man has is self-will. So how is it that you say that we can choose whether we're being birthed into the kingdom of God when he's the one who does the birthing?
Well, that's an opinion that you have, and I simply do not share that opinion.
No, that's what the Bible says. The Bible says we were born not of blood, nor the will of man, nor the will of flesh, but by God.
Right, but you are objecting.
If we're dead in our sins, how can you make yourself alive when we are dead? If Christ did not pick out him a family,
well, I think you're confusing categories.
How will we come alive to choose Christ?
I think you're confusing categories. I don't think that the Bible there is talking about physical death, but spiritual death. But here's the point. In Matthew 20.
That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about spiritual.
Hey, Tony, I'm trying to answer a question, but if you have a solid opinion, I respect your opinion. I'd like to answer your question. If you would permit me to do that, I'd be happy to do that.
Absolutely.
Otherwise, I'm happy to hear what you have to say.
Well, what I'm saying, I'm talking about what the Bible said. This is not opinion. I'm afraid that we don't define anything anymore. We like the word love. You say that love is either two words, phileo or agape, and that means walking in God. Agape is always walking into the commandment of God. And if God's writing his laws in our hearts, then there's no way that we're not going to follow Christ.
Yeah, well, of course,
he doesn't write in our hearts if we don't belong to him.
The point here is that even what you say about love is wrong. There are not only two definitions for love given in the Bible, but what I was going to point out is in Matthew 23:37, Jesus himself says, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who killed the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing." I think that there are many passages that point to the will of humankind. We have an honest difference of opinion here. Certainly, it is true that there are Christians who believe that there are people who are born doomed from the womb to certain destruction. But not all people believe that. Within the pale of orthodoxy, there are other people that believe that we can respond to the wooing of the Holy Spirit. Certainly, there is a difference between compatibilistic and circumstantial freedom and libertarian freedom. That is articulated in a debate in the Christian Research Journal, which we have available if you're interested in looking at two really good minds that take that issue and debate it. The article is available online at equip.org. But the very passage that you cited, John 1:12, if quoted in context, you will see that it's all those who receive Jesus who are given the right to become children of God. So context does make a substantial difference. Back to the phone lines. Let's go to Mike. He's listening in St. Louis, Missouri. Hi, Mike.
Hank, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. I have a question for you. I've been involved with a band that I'm playing some music with, and we're a Christian-based band. We happen to be playing in a place that used to be an old church. And after a little further research, it used to be a Haitian church, which I think looks to be at least somewhat voodoo in its orientation. But we've had some weird things happen there, and I am definitely a believer. But I can't explain these things that happen there, like people getting scratched physically. They feel like they've been touched physically. They get sick physically. I've not experienced this myself, but I'm wondering, can a demon inflict physical harm, make you sick, or anything of that nature?
No, I think it's socio-psychological, because the issue is very clear. Satan can tempt you, but he can't throw you around. He can't bite you. He can't scratch you. Satan is non-physical, and he doesn't have creative power. Therefore, he can't create a body. He can't create fangs or fingernails to scratch you with. So I think the important thing in spiritual warfare always gets back to the same thing, and that is to put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the principalities and powers of darkness. And you also have to recognize that Paul in Ephesians 6 puts the emphasis in the right place, which is the power of God to protect as opposed to the power of Satan to pillage. So again, I think it's important for us to recognize that we need to put on the full armor of God so we can stand against the wiles of the evil one. But the kind of temptation that Paul is talking about is mind-to-mind temptation. It is not physical infliction via nails or fangs.
Okay. Would a physical, like, possession, is that a type of thing that is still a possibility in this day and age as it was back then?
Well, you are either possessed by God or you are possessed of the devil. Those are the only two categories. So you are either in the kingdom of God or you're in the kingdom of darkness. If you're in the kingdom of darkness, then you fall under the spell of the evil one. If you are in the kingdom of light, then the king himself inhabits you. And greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So again, I think the emphasis that we have to have here is in the power of God to protect rather than the power of Satan to pillage. I wrote a book about this. It's called The Covering, God's Plan to Protect You from Evil. And again, it points out how transcendently important it is to put on the full armor of God. If you don't, you're a guaranteed casualty. If you do, you're invincible in spiritual warfare.
Amen. Thank you for your help, Hank. I really appreciate it. I'm going to look into getting that book, and God bless you and your ministry. You've been a great help.
Hey, thanks, Mike. Appreciate your call. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Zach. He's listening in Charlotte, North Carolina. Hi, Zach.
Hey, how you doing today?
Good. How are you?
Good. My question has to do with the Seventh-day Adventist.
Yeah.
And, I've been kind of listening to some of their preachers on the radio, and they seem to put a high premium on the writings of Ellen G. White.
Well, Seventh-day Adventism is an interesting organization in that they're not monolithic, they're multifaceted. And so you have Seventh-day Adventists who are traditionalists, and those traditionalists, they really focus in on the teachings of Ellen G. White. They focus in on soul sleep and Sabbatarianism and the seer status of their prophet. And as a result of that, I have had the experience many times after I finished a speaking engagement and I've signed books and I've talked to people and it's late at night and there are a group of Adventists waiting in the wings and they want to say, if I don't capitulate to their view on Sabbatarianism, I have taken on the mark of the beast. But I think this is the traditionalist camp. There are also Adventists who are thoroughly Orthodox. Now, they may debate issues vigorously, but they're secondary issues on essential Christian doctrine. They take a thoroughly Orthodox position. So, yeah, I think the problem is that Ellen G. White, her teachings, particularly with respect to the investigative judgment, are simply wrong. They're wrong-headed. She's been demonstrated to be a false prophet because she made prophecies that did not come to pass. And so I think that I prefer those who appreciate her for what she had to offer, but do not make her the sole authority or prophet on which they base their life, that they rather take what she says and test it in light of Scripture, hold fast to that which is good. I've written about this in the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition. We also have a lot of information on Adventism available on the World Wide Web at equip.org. We'll look forward to seeing you next time right here with more of the show.
Thanks for tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Our website, equip.org, has an abundance of resources to sharpen your discernment skills and help you grow in life and truth. We provide books, videos, and informative articles. You can also listen to the broadcast, download archived programs, get answers to pressing Bible questions, or connect with us via social media. All this and more at equip.org. Again, the address is equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter.
Truth matters, life matters more, details Hank Hanegraaff's personal pilgrimage from his long defense of truth to his discovery that life matters more. Essentially two books in one, Part 1 equips Christians to defend the essential truths of the historic Christian faith. Part 2 explains why truth is necessary, but hardly sufficient. That the map is not the territory, the menu is not the meal. We are created to experience life to the full through union with God in Christ. Is there more to the Christian life than what you are experiencing? Truth Matters, Life Matters More unveils the unexpected beauty of an authentic Christian life. To receive Truth Matters, Life Matters More for yourself or as a terrific gift to a friend or loved one, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us online at equip.org.